We're thankful, Lord, for all that has been accomplished throughout this week. God, we just praise you for the spirit of worship. Those that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, those lives that have been challenged, all the teachers, the workers. We ask that you direct now, just blessed Savior, in all that's said and done. In your sweet name we ask, and amen. We appreciate the opportunity of being back again this year. And we thank Jesse and Polly for putting us up in their home and feeding us, and for all the sweet fellowship that we have had in the last couple of days. My heart has been blessed, especially the spirit of worship and praise that we have seen among the young people. And also, we have seen this especially manifested also in the adults that have come up to worship Christ. We are what we are by the grace of God, and I appreciate Jesse's lessons throughout the week. It meant to me personally. Pray for us as we return back to our own home, that what we have received here, that we can take back to our own people. And I would like to personally thank the Lord that making my wife, enabling her to come out and be with the camp this year. She had an operation just 2 weeks before we came, and they were hesitant to let her come, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm glad our God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we're able to ask or even think. I had a knee operation here some time ago, and not very long ago. And I've tried to calm down a little bit. But the doctor told my wife after I had the knee surgery, she says, I guess you know that your husband's not going to be able to jump around anymore. Well, the doctors don't know everything, do they? But we made sure and tried to make that real in our hearts. It's not you and I, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what we do. And I want to turn to Amos, the third chapter this evening. We'll kind of cut this short, and I think it would be a good time if everyone, the kids and the adults and all, that we could gather together around the altars and have a real time of worship and praising God, and send all of these kids back home with this kind of an atmosphere and just worshiping and praising God. In Amos, the third chapter, and verses 2 and 3, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all of your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I'd like to tell you a little story about a little boy named Freddie that was very dear to our hearts. I think when we started working with little Freddie, that he was about eight years old or so. He approached me one night at the youth camp that we were working with and began to weep and cry, and I felt sorry for him, and he said, well, I don't have any money to buy anything at the concession stand. And he cried and cried and cried, and I didn't realize what was taking place. I gave him a dollar. At the end of the youth camp, they were closing the concession stand down completely. They were lowering all the prices and everything, and I began to watch little Freddie, and I began to realize that there was something besides the tears in his eyes. When he approached the concession stand, he had a wad of money about that thick out of his pocket, and he had hit every family that came to the youth camp and gave them the same sob story. Then you can laugh. Now, he was a 10-year-old con man. He was. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in his life and the way he acted. We worked with him for several years. And he was saved. He knew Christ as personal Savior, but we learned just Recently, before we came out here, little Freddie passed away on narcotics and alcohol. God took his life. I wonder, young people, can two people walk together except they agree with what's being done? We have a lot of friends in this life, but there came a time in our life that we went one way and they chose to go another way. That friend with you tonight, and you're the only one that can walk it. Nobody can walk that pathway with you. You and Jesus Christ, two friends together. And as we go this direction, young people, if you want the best that God has to offer you, you have to be willing to say yes in every direction that your friend will lead and guide in your life. When you begin to say no, you begin to build up a barrier between you and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I feel sorry for little Freddie, a personal friend of mine, but he constantly said no to what God had to offer him. And David spoke much about the countenance, just our manner of life. Proverbs tells us that a man's ways that please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That little word, peace, it means to satisfy God, to consent with what God has to say about your life, and to delight yourself in him. But I thought, Freddie, there's a verse in Proverbs 16 and 23, there's a 25, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what the wages of sin is? It's death. He paid a horrible price. David said in his writings, he that ordereth his conversation or matter of life aright, God will show the salvation of God. As we yield to him personally, and we read of a man, there are three areas that I want to look at just briefly, and we'll cut this real short, and are aspects of divine companionship with God. First of all, young people, that your walk is before God and not anybody else. Your walk personally is before God. And remember the story about Hezekiah. The word says in 2 Kings that he clave to the Lord. He pleased God. He kept his commandments. He walked with God. What a precious testimony. And yet I believe it was Isaiah that was sent to him with a message that really challenged his heart. Set your house in order, you're going to die. There's a portion of scripture that says, take with you words and go to God. I can take the promises of God and go back to him and say, well, God, this is what you said in your word. And Hezekiah immediately, he didn't hesitate. He faced the wall and began to weep and cry and seek God. And he said, God, you remember I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and done that which was good in thy sight. You remember how I have walked before you, God? God gave him 15 more years. This man in his life walked before God. God told Abram in Genesis, he said, I am the Almighty God, I'm El Shaddai. But Abraham walked before me in truth. Walk before me. Young people, your walk will testify as to who you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You will only get one chance in this life. to make that decision for Christ. I pray and trust that young people, you, when you go back, walk a godly life before God. You never know whose life that you might touch and change and point to Jesus Christ. Not only do you walk before God, but you walk after God. And David said, well, those that offer praise to God will glorify him. But him that ordereth his conversation aright, God said, I will show the salvation of God. Those that will order their conversation or manner of life aright. But I like the way the verse started out, those that praise God. God is great and greatly to be praised. And I spoke here not long ago about strange things. I want to see strange things in our meeting. Jesus was preaching the word of God, and a man got healed, began to preach the word of God. Others got blessed and began to worship God. Somebody got up and said, well, didn't we see strange things here today? Would to God we would see strange things in our churches today. The gospel being preached, people being healed, and people's sins be forgiven them. Walk before God, young people. Follow him. We all know that verse in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. God wants to do that. God's no respecter of persons. I went to church some time ago, and some of the young people wanted to do something, and the pastor, I love him, they said, well, sit down. You're too young. You just sit down a while and get some age on you. Saying the Word of God doesn't teach that. Anyone that has an open heart and a desire to be used of God, God said, come unto me. Suffer little children to come unto me. The little children can be used of God. My heart delights when I saw the last three nights, just kids, just like a suction cup coming down here and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I'm grateful I'm able to have a part to be with you. Try to give you something that might encourage your hearts. I feel a tugging at my heart. I believe before long I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Young people, you don't know. You don't know. Jesus Christ may come tonight. He may come tonight. I'm grateful for the walk I've had with him. My dad was a preacher. I got a brother that's a preacher. I was brought in grace all my life. Sending grace meetings all my life. One time in 1959, I decided, well, God, not me, not me. And I ran and ran and ran and ran for 6 years. And God finally put up a stop sign. But David, this is far enough. And I would have to be like those in the book of Acts. Great grace was on my life. God turned me around. He didn't have to, but he loved me. Young people, there's not a thing that Jesus Christ wouldn't do to take care of you and love you, support you, go before you, fight your battles. Those years from 59 to 64, I wish I could wipe them out, but I can't. But I learned a great lesson. When God said, it's enough. It's enough. Young people, don't do that in your life. Your hearts are young, they're tender, they're pliable in the hands of God. All the talent, the ability that you have by the grace of God, use it for His glory. Use it for His glory. We have a man in our church, quotes the same verse over and over again. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Justifying, he says the same thing. Coming to church, he says the same thing. But God began to show me, I began to realize it's here and it's not here. He memorized that scripture, but it meant nothing to him really. I'm glad he's in the church. He's taking in the word little by little. But saying, thank God for the teachers and those that take their time teaching these young children. Don't kid yourself. They take in the word of God. They listen to what you're saying. They listen to what you're saying. But don't just have it in your head. Have it in your heart. Have it in your heart. I can't remember the little boy's name. I was sitting in down the hallway. He came running up to me as I was sitting there reading some scriptures out of one of the books. And he said, you need some water? And there he is, the little boy right there. And I said, no. I said, my glass is half full. He grabbed it and took off running. Here he came back about 2 minutes later with a thing full of nice cold water. He looked at my wife and said, well, you need some water. I'm grinning at her. Well, I don't have my cup with my glass with me. I said, it'd have to be in a cup. Okay, took off running. Here he came back a few minutes later with a cup of nice cold water for my wife. But he did that with all those that were sitting around. My heart rejoiced, even young people, the courtesy, the love, the kindness, what God is doing, what God did for them. They're sharing it with others. Young people, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Walk with God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And I think there's a portion of scripture, the writer said, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. You know, the young people, the best thing that the world can find in your life is Jesus Christ. In you, the hope of glory. The way you live, the way you talk, the way you act, your manner of conversation. Don't just walk after God. Walk with God. I've learned the value of that portion of scripture in a way that I didn't want to. It cost me. But I learned that God was with me every place I went, watching over me and taking care of me. And He will do the same for you. Remember, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. When you go with Him, He will not lead you astray. But make sure, follow the word of God. You have a godly pastor and his wife. I love them dearly. They meant much to my wife and I 30 years. There was a lady that approached my wife and I some time ago and said, well, David, God show me you're to be a missionary. I didn't comment about it too much. They were having special meetings and we went back, I guess it was the next day. She approached my wife again and said, well, aren't you too packed yet? God showed me you're to go to the mission fields. I said, lady, listen, I love you. But there's only one thing wrong. God didn't show me. God didn't show me. Young people, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Know who you are. Know what you stand for. Know what you believe in. And It'll pay dividends in the months ahead. Would to God, I love you young people. God has always given me a heart for young people, my wife and I. We love you dearly. And not only walk after God, but walk with God. Walk with Him. I think of Job, the word says that he was a perfect and an upright man. He was a man that eschewed or hated evil. He loved his family. He prayed for them. He cared for them. But he walked with God. I think of the story of Enoch. Walking along, and maybe young people, it might be you. And I don't see how Jesus can wait very much longer, the way things are going in this world. Enoch walked along, and suddenly the word says that he was not. God took him. Listen, say, not everybody that's saved is going to be in the bride of Christ. There's going to be a group of people that have walked with Christ all their life and followed Him. I pray that you will do that. As long as God tarries and you go on with Him, I think of the life of Joseph. Well, with Enoch, the word said that before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. You know, young people, you can please God. You can please God. I think of the life of Joseph. I don't know, about 15, 16 years of age, God gave him a dream. He told it to his family members. His father chided him. His brethren hated him. And he was sold as a slave. For years, they lied to their father as to what they did with Joseph. In and out of the dungeon several times, and a lady falsely accused him and was put in the dungeon again. But what blesses my heart with the life of Joseph and any portion of the Word of God, you see little drops of honey in several verses put this way, but God was with him. Amen. God was with him. In the dungeon, God was with him. You know, when the famine came, there was only one person that had the key to the storehouse. That was Joseph. Young people, by God's grace, He may give you those keys to the Word of God, and you can feed somebody else the Word. I think of the life of Paul. His testimony, beaten, whipped with rods, drug out of the city, left for dead, landed on the island of Melita, bitten by a poisonous viper. The devil did everything he could to try to stop the purpose of God in Paul's life. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor. Many were put to death because of him. And after his experience on the road to Damascus, or when the Lord met him, he began to preach Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And Paul put it this way, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Young people, I hope your hearts are young and tender. But I hope you understand and can realize the real reason for living is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You don't know what living is unless it's Christ living in you. And you can lose things so rapidly. Did Paul leave a good testimony? Oh, yes. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. But he said, for me to live, it's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Him. And think of Peter and John. My, what precious saints that we have in the Word of God. And one portion of scripture. The word says that they watched Peter and John and realized that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that is, they were uneducated. But they took knowledge. They stood up and noticed one thing, that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Peter and John had been with Jesus. It makes a difference. And as you walk with God, yield your life to Him. But beware of His presence when you start this journey with Christ. He never left me. He never forsook me. He's the best friend that I ever have. I can call out to Him and He's there. I've done it 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Things concerning my heart, and I would seek God, and just like that, Jesus Christ was there. Be aware, no matter where your kid's getting ready to go back to school, be aware that Jesus Christ is there with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And I like what was said about John. I said, I am not alone. For me, or the Father, is with me. I am not alone. He's with me. And fear is a horrible thing. I had a brother that, about 7 or 8 years older than me, and he was so filled with fear. You could go downtown, he wouldn't walk across the street, even if the light was green, unless somebody walked beside him and got him across the street. He had an apartment of his own. He wouldn't go down and buy groceries unless somebody took him. He was petrified of everything that he looked at all around him. Saved, but he died in fear. Saint, listen, perfect love casteth out all fear. Fear is something that the devil will use to torment you. I'm afraid to testify for him. Listen, God can remove that fear and give you a boldness like Peter and John. And I value their prayer through the years. Peter said, Lord, grant unto thy servant that with more boldness we can proclaim the word of God, and that signs will follow those that believe. I still believe in signs and miracles. God's still working. We appreciate your prayers on our behalf and our church. And this has been going on for about 5 weeks now. One Sunday morning, the Lord just moved me to ask the saints, well, are you here to have church, or did you just show up? I said, let's give God a praise offering. And the Holy Spirit just so saturated our whole congregation, we couldn't hardly sit down. For the next 4 weeks, every time we come in on a Sunday morning, that's not who I am, what I've done. But they begin to realize that Jesus is in the midst, that God is sending a sweet revival in our meeting. We're praying for a Holy Ghost revival and say, it's coming. There have been those that have contacted us and talked about prayer. It's like, why I'm telling you this, young people, listen. If you have a hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, He'll meet you. I believe it would be good if we would just skip the songs. Shall we stand?